Blog Talk Radio.
Yet and still, they remember and they come back.
and they're coming back, and it seems like in droves. I was like late today for the market, and had to have the managers there to help me set up so that I could start selling because people were waiting, and then all the way up until the time to leave, I didn't get out. I'm used to it. The market closes at 2. I didn't get out of there till 3. And so, I put a cramp on what I needed to do and get back home, to do Sabbath. But yeah, it's good, and I'm not complaining. It is just amazing what I see him doing and how he is actually growing this, being faithful to him and what he has said to do. Also talked to the farmer who, turned me on to the young lady from the NCRC, NCRCS. And so, he was telling me that they would buy a lot of things, like tractors and things like that. So, I got to make sure that we get in on this and make sure that, I'm asking for the right thing. And, Yah bless. Okay. Anyway, this is Yah's Sabbath, and I'm so happy to enter into it. I look forward to this day every week. No matter if I got something to do or I don't have anything to do, when this day comes, everything stops. It's all about Him. And so I want to go ahead and just focus on the Most High and just worship and praise Him and give Him glory and honor because He's worthy of it. He's just worthy. And so I am so grateful to Him for what he has done for me and what He's doing and what He's going to do and what He's going to do for all of us because He's faithful if you're faithful to Him. And that's the bottom line. He's faithful if you are faithful to Him. So I just want to, take this time and thank Him and glorify Him. The only thing He wants from us is worship. There's nothing else we can do for Him but worship Him and obey. And so I really am in the mindset to just worship the Most High. Yet and still, I have a lesson on today, a precept, because there are many of us in the church, in the camp, that we have been so indoctrinated. I was indoctrinated when I came out of the church with just certain doctrines that, I had been taught my whole life. And so for me, they were the truth until the Most High showed me they weren't. And, I had to change. I had to go with the way He was leading me and, to do what He said to do and to let go of some things because they were not taking me down the path that He wanted me to go and they were not taking me into His kingdom. And so that is what's the most important thing above everything, making it into the kingdom. Nothing else matters. If, nothing in this world matters if we don't make it into the kingdom. And so everything that we have to do, we need to do it, to secure that and to, at least make it ourselves available where He can select us, where He can choose us. Because, many are called, but few are chosen. And so, we have to make it to where we're at least not in opposition to Him and that we're not making ourselves His enemy and not knowing it. So, that is always the forefront. And so as a man of the Most High and as the Most High has called me to do, He just told me to teach. You can't make people believe anything. You can't make people do anything. You can't make people understand anything. That's all the Most High. All they're going to do is come along with water. And the Most High gives the increase. And He gets all the glory. So, you know, I never want to make the mistake that Moses made by doing anything. That, you know, Moses took it personal when these people came to him and were complaining about not having no water, even though the Most High had been providing the whole time. But he took it personal, and then Most High said, hey, you taking my glory. Caused them not to be able to go into the promised land. So, you know, we have to also look at what past men of the Most High have done correctly and what they've done incorrectly. I don't want the Most High to come to me and say, hey, you took my glory. Therefore, the lake is over there for you. I don't want that. Okay. So, nevertheless, this is a new year. This is we're entering to the feast days of the Most High, and we are glorying in what he has done, just like we do every Sabbath. We celebrate this Sabbath to celebrate his creation. That's why he told Israel, for in 6 days I created the heavens and the earth and all there is in, and on the seventh day I rest. And so we celebrate him. On his Sabbath, and we honor him, and we don't look for our own pleasures or to do what we want to do, but we honor him in it. And so let us make sure that we are doing that. Don't ever be too afraid to praise the Most High or to worship him or to give him the glory, the honor, because that's really all he wants from us. Period. You know, and like I said, obedience, that's number one. Our obedience and our fear, but as far as what we can give him or do for him, he said, give me the praise of your lips. That's what I want from you. Other than that, you can't do nothing for me. So, I praise him in that because he is omnipotent. He is omnipresent. He is sovereign. What he says goes, and what he wants, he will have. We just have to get with the program and do what it is that he wants. All right, we want to welcome everybody in Pal Talk and Blog Talk, everyone on the internet in general, wherever you may be, whether it's in North America or South America, on the African continent, in the Middle East, in the Far East, in the European theater, in the communist bloc country. We greet you in the only name whereby men must be saved, the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, or John last night at the business meeting. You know, I'm still excited about all of that. And, you know, I want everybody to pray to the Most High that he delivers these things into our hands so that we can move quickly. You know, there's people coming up to me at the farmer's market, and I'm not, you know, this is scripture-based. But there are a lot of Gentiles that are coming up to me at the market and, you know, talking about something is coming. Talking about, they're trying to go through astrology and tell me things. But they know something is coming and it's not going to be good. And so whether they're doing it through astrology or they're doing it through, as they say, love or whatever, you know, however they're being warned, they are being warned that something is coming, and the Most High has, you know, been told me something is coming, and that it's not going to be good. We don't want to be in the city when it happens. We don't want to be around a lot of civilization because people are just going to, you know, start losing their minds for real. And we got to be in a position where we're not hiding because the only one that can truly protect you is the Most High. But I know I have to be obedient and do what he said to do. And if he says to get out of the cities, then that's what, you know, what I'm going to be doing. And that's my hope for all of us, that we are getting out of the city. Because what's coming is going to be horrendous. I'll leave that right there. And let us get ready to go before the Most High. Let me load up our statement of faith. And I have to admit, I'm kind of tired this afternoon. Okay, let me have the ladies to uncover their heads. I mean, ladies, cover their head. Men, uncover your head. And let us turn toward the east, holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim, as we do our statement of faith. And you can repeat this to yourself, after me. Only reason why I don't open up the mic for this, because it just sounds confusing. But, this is what we should be confessing as far as our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction. Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe that all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I'm a new covenant child of Yah according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I am of the royal priesthood according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham according to Galatians chapter 3 verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Mashiach, which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep the commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give our Elohim a hand clap of praise on today. Hallelujah, Father. We just glorify you, Yah, and we lift you up and we magnify your name. We bow down to you, Father, and we praise your holy name. We praise your holy name. We praise your holy name. For truly, you are worthy of all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. And there is no other Elohim besides you, O Yah Elohim. And so we bow down to you, Father, and we worship you on this day that you have ordained that your people should honor you in it. Hallelujah, by just bowing down and being submitted to you, Father. And we glorify you. We glorify you, we glorify you. And we thank you, Father, for your gift of salvation. We thank you for being our Savior and our Redeemer. Hallelujah, our King and our Elohim, our Healer and our Provider. We thank you for all that you do for us, oh Yah Elohim. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Yah. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Glory to your name. Glory, 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 glory to you, O Yah Elohim. Glory. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, now and forever. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercy. We thank you for the opportunity to once again come together and to break bread and to observe your Shabbat, a day of rest that you have ordained, that your people should keep perpetually throughout all time. Father, we ask that you would forgive us our sins as we forgive those that have sinned against us. We ask that you lead us not into temptation, but that you deliver us from evil. We ask that you hold not the iniquity of our forefathers against us, for they are all gone by the way of the grave, and we are still yet here, seeking to keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments, in spirit and in truth. Father, you have said that your people Israel have done wickedly, and that we have walked contrary to you, and that you have walked contrary to us. You said, but if we would but turn from our sins, and not complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us by scattering us into all the nations of the world, that you would once again turn your eyes and your ears toward your people Israel. So, Father, we acknowledge that we have walked contrary to you and that you have walked contrary to us. And, Father, we pray that, I lost my train of thought, we pray that you would not hold our iniquities against us, for we are repenting of our sins and turning from our wicked ways. And we won't complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us by scattering us throughout all the nations of the world. But this will be our testimony to the world. This is what happens to you when you disobey the Most High Elohim. Father, we pray for the seed of Israel that is asleep, that you might wake them and give them an unction to come and keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments. We pray for the seed of Israel that is awake, that you might give us a meek and a humble spirit. We pray for the seed of Abraham, all that are called the Messiah, that they would come and that they would hear your voice and that they would obey. Now, Father, as we go to work in the kingdom, we ask that you would smile upon this work and that you would give us favor in all that we do. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, I pray. Amen and amen. Amen. All right. Let us, the book of Jeremiah, chapter 31, is really on my heart this afternoon. So we're going to go to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 31. And I will read this in your hearing. The book of Jeremiah, 31. And the word of the Most High reads, at the same time, saith Yah, will I be an Elohim to all the families of Israel, and they shall be my people. Thus saith Yah, the people which were left of the sword found grace in the wilderness, even Israel, when I went to cause them to rest. And Yah has appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Again, I will build thee, and thou shalt be built, O virgin of Israel, O virgin of Israel. Thou shalt again be adorned with thy tabret, and shall go forth in the dance of them that make merry. Thou shalt yet plant vines upon the mountains of Samaria. The planters shall plant, and shall eat them as common things. For there shall be a day, there shall be a day that the watchman upon the Mount Ephraim shall cry, arise, and let us go up to Zion, unto Yah our Elohim. For thus saith Yah, sing with gladness for Jacob, and shout among the chiefs of the nations. Publish thee, praise thee, and say, O Yah, save thy people, the remnant of Israel. Behold, I will bring them from the north country, and gather them from the coast of the earth, and with them the blind and the lame, the woman with child, and her that travaileth with child together. A great company shall return thither or here. And with supplication will I lead them. I will cause them to walk by the rivers of water in a straight way, wherein they shall not stumble. For I am a father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn. Hear the word of Yah, O ye nations, and declare it in the isles afar off, and say, he that scattered Israel will gather him, and keep him as a shepherd doth his flock. For Yah has redeemed Jacob, and ransomed him from the hand of him that was stronger than he. Therefore they shall come and sing in the height of Zion, and shall flow together to the goodness of Yah, for wheat, and for wine, and for oil, and for the young of the flock, and of the herd, and their souls shall be as a watered garden, and they shall not sorrow any more at all. Then shall the virgin rejoice in the dance, both young men and old together, for I will turn their mourning into joy, and will comfort them, and make them rejoice from their sorrow. And I will satiate the souls of the priests. I will satiate the soul of the priests with fatness, and my people shall be satisfied with my goodness, saith Yah. Thus saith Yah, a voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping. Rachel weeping for her children refused to be comforted for her children because they were not.
They were not.
And let me mute that. Scene again. Thus saith Yah, refrain thy voice from weeping and thine eyes from tears. For the work shall be rewarded, saith Yah, and they shall come again from the land of the enemy. And there is hope in thine end, saith Yah, that thy children shall come again to their own borders. I have surely heard Ephraim bemoaning himself, thus, thou hast chastised me, and I was chastised. And as a bullock unaccustomed to the yoke, turn thou me, and I shall be turned, for thou art Yah, my Elohim. Surely after that I was turned, I repented, and after that I was instructed, I smote upon my thigh. I was ashamed, yea, even confounded, because I did bear the reproach of my youth. Is Ephraim my dear son? Is he a pleasant child? For since I spake against him, I do earnestly remember him still. Therefore my bowels are troubled for him. I will surely have mercy upon him, saith Yah. Yet set thee up way marks, and make thee high place, or make thee high heap. Set thine heart toward the highway, even the way which thou went. Turn again, O virgin of Israel. Turn again to thee, thy city. How long wilt thou go about, O thou backsliding daughter? Yah has created a new thing in the earth. A woman shall compass a man. Thus saith Yah of hosts, the Elohim of Israel, as yet they shall use this speech in the land of Judah, and in the cities thereof, when I shall bring again their captivity. And Yah bless thee, O habitation of justice, and mountain of holiness. And there shall dwell in Judah itself, and all cities thereof, together husbandmen, that they go forth with flocks. For I have satiated the weary soul, and I have replenished every sorrowful soul. Upon this I awake and beheld, and my sleep was sweet unto me. Behold, the day is coming, said Yah, that I will sow the house of Israel and the house of Judah with seed of man and with the seed of beast. And it shall come to pass that like as I have watched over them to pluck up and to break down and to throw down and to destroy and to afflict, so will I watch to build and to plant, says Yah. In those days they shall say no more, the father has eaten a sour grape, and the children's teeth are set on edge. But everyone shall die for his own iniquity. Every man that eateth the sour grape, his teeth shall be set on edge. Behold, the day is coming, saith Yah, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was a husband unto them, saith Yah. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith Yah. I will put my law in their inward parts, and write it in their hearts, and will be their Elohim, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, Know Yah, for they shall all know me, from the least unto the greatest of them, saith Yah. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Thus saith Yah, which giveth the sun for a light by day, and the ordinances of the moon, and of the stars for a light by night, which divideth the sea, when the waves thereof roar, Yah of hosts is his name. If those ordinances depart from before me, says Yah, then the seed of Israel also shall cease from being a nation before me forever. Thus saith Yah, if heaven above can be measured, and the foundations of the earth searched out beneath, I will also cast off all the seed of Israel for all that they have done, saith Yah. Behold, the day is coming, saith Yah, that the city shall be built to Yah from the tower of Hanel unto the gate of the corner. And the measuring line shall go forth over against it upon the hill of Goreb, and shall compass about two goats. And the whole valley of the dead bodies and of ashes, and all the fields unto the brook of Kidron, unto the corner of the horse gate toward the east, shall be holy unto Yah. It shall not be plucked up, nor thrown down any more forever. May the Most High a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understand, and more so the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. The sounding of the shofar.
Thank you. What's up, everybody? This is Anthony Brown from Anthony Brown and Duke Derrick. And I'm so excited to debut for you my brand new single, Work, from the new project, Everyday People. This song is so special to me because this song is all about love. It's all about the fact that greatest love of a Savior that would give his life for both of you and for me. I think in this world that we live in, we're reminded enough of what we'll never become, what we'll never do, and what we can't do. But I want you to know today that he thought you were worth saving. He thought you were worth dying for. He thought you were worth keeping. And because of all of that, not only am I worth it, but so are you. Check it out.
You clean me up inside.
All right, testing 1, 2, 3. Can you hear me online?
Yes, Brother Lyle.
Okay. Looks like everybody got disconnected from the website.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened, but welcome back.
Thank you.
Sound check 1, 2, 3. Can I be heard?
Brother Miles.
Yes, ma'am. All right, thank you. All right, now looks like when I'm playing a song on through the internet, through Blog Talk, I guess. I don't know if you guys could hear that or not.
Yeah, always can.
Okay. Yeah, there's no video on the screen. All right, so let's go ahead and get into this particular precept. And tonight is sound doctrine, because the Most High wants us to believe in him and not, you know, what men say. It's what he says. And so if we're not saying what he says and we're repeating what men say, then we are actually may not be repeating sound doctrine. And so we just want to go over a few things on this evening, a few verses. As I said, I'm kind of tired this evening, been up since, like, I think I got up at 4:15 this morning, something like that, and been just on the go ever since. And so bear with me on this evening. We will do what we need to do. So, and let's get verse 3, 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And I want to go ahead and go into verse 4 into this, because when I read this earlier, this is, you know, it's relevant for us today. And so let us get into the word of the Most High. Second Timothy chapter 4 and verse 4. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. Fables are fiction. They are made up things. They are not, you know, they may hold a form of truth in so far as what they may be saying, but it's not according to the word of the Most High. So he says people will turn to fables and not the truth. And we want to concentrate on this, because we don't want to believe anything false. We don't want to believe anything that the Most High has not said himself. And if he said it, then we have to believe it. If he said to do it, then we have to do it. We don't really get a choice in this matter. We don't get an opinion in the matter. And so when doing these precepts, what I try to do is come straight from the book, and so that we can have sound doctrine. I don't like to teach my opinion, because that's what it'll be, my opinion. If we can't read it, I won't teach it. For the simple reason, then I'm adding into and I'm giving my opinion on it. And he doesn't want that. He has said enough himself to where we should be following him and him only. The messengers are just that, messengers. And you have to hear the voice of the Most High in the message. And follow him in it. So let's go to the book of Titus chapter 1. The book of Titus chapter 1. Chapter 1. And we're going to get verse 9. Titus chapter 1 and verse 9. Let's get verses 1 through 9. Titus chapter 1 verses 1 through 9. Paul, a servant of Elohim and an apostle of Yeshua HaMashiach, according to the faith of Elohim's elect, and the knowledge and acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which Elohim, that cannot lie, promised before the world began, but has in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandments of Elohim our Savior. To Titus, my own son, after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from Elohim the Father and Yeshua HaMashiach, our Savior. For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting. In other words, set in order the things that haven't been done. They need to be done. And ordain elders in every city. I had appointed thee. If any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly, for a bishop must be blameless as the steward of Elohim, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, not a striker, not given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate, holding fast the faithful word, as he has been taught, that he may be able to, by sound doctrine, both to exhort, encourage, and to convince the gainsayers. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision. So Paul is of the circumcision, and Paul is a Hebrew himself, and Paul is what I would call a latter apostle, because he didn't actually walk with Messiah. Messiah met him on the road to Damascus and chose him and said, you know, you're going to suffer much to preach the gospel. You're going to be attacked in every city. Ain't hardly nobody going to like you. Paul didn't draw Damascus. He talked to the Gentiles. But, you know, his writing, the Most High needed a lawyer. That's the changes that he was going to make in the new covenant. A fisherman couldn't do them. A merchant couldn't do it. A tax collector couldn't do it. They didn't have the understanding of the law. So the Most High selected him because he was a lawyer. And Paul is telling us that there are going to be many vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, our own people. Now, we are supposed to be coming to the nations, to our own and to the nations, in truth, in love. And we don't have the authority, as they don't have the authority, to change the scriptures of the Most High. If Yah says to do something, we do it. If he say don't do something, we don't do it. We don't get an opinion on it. And it, when we do give our opinion, or when we're teaching things that he says we ought not teach, then we're doing it because that's what we want to teach. So the matter is, Yah should be telling us what to teach. Yah should be telling us what the body needs, what to feed the flock, that we might walk upright before him, that we might walk circumspect, that we might come into right relationship with him. Not according to our own minds, but what he said. And so in these days, you got people teaching all kind of things. You got people going directly against the word of the Most High. You got people saying half-truths and misapplying scriptures, applying half of a scripture, and then at the same time, denying the same scripture. And I'm like, okay, what is this all about? But it is, he said, in these last days, people would get this way. People would be led this way. And so we don't want to fall into this type of trap. Because the bottom line, what I've learned over the years, and especially since the Most High has told me to teach, is just say what he says. Leave myself out of it. Because, you know, I've had some opinion about some things. And when I say what he says, my opinion don't matter. Just say what he says. It's his doctrine. It's his truth. And we have to walk in them, even when they feel contrary to us. Everything don't feel comfortable. And when we have been taught a certain way, and when we take some things for truth, it's hard to come out of them. It really is. It's hard to let go of some things. Nobody wants to believe that they were believing a lie about anything. If they really believed it, nobody wants to believe that they were believing a lie or a half-truth. And so it's one of the hardest things to change about ourselves. So let's go to, let me make sure I finish reading that. So we read through where I needed to read. Well, let's read verses 10 and 11, and then we'll move on. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped. Now, most of our forefathers who were in Israel, who were Pharisees, who were, they believed in the law. They did not believe in Messiah. They did not accept Messiah. And Paul was one of them until Messiah selected him, chose him. He didn't choose Messiah. Messiah chose him. But those of the circumcision, our forefathers, they were all against Messiah being, Yeshua being the Messiah. They were all against the gospel. And even in, a lot of them are still against the gospel. And they make, their own commandments. You know, they say, don't add to or take away from the word of the Most High. And then that's the very thing that they do. And so we got to understand that the Most High never gave us the authority to make any of these decisions. He never gave it to us. Whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not, for filthy lucre's sake, so that they can get some money, so that they can attract the crowd, so that they can have a big church or a big camp. They teach what people want to hear, the way that they want to hear it. And the truth of the matter is, they will follow the blind man right into the ditch, what they want to hear. And so we got to understand that, the Most High, he doesn't care if you believe a lie, especially if you choose to believe it out of pride, out of not wanting to let things go, out of not wanting to receive correction, then he will let that stand because we make that choice. So he says, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not to, for filthy lucre's sake, filthy money's sake. One of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said the Cretans are always liars and evil beasts and slow bellies. This witness is true. Wherefore, rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in faith. We don't want to be rebuked. It is, who are you? But when we do what we're told to do by the Most High, most men don't like it. Most people don't like it. They'll say, oh, you sound angry. You think you're in the know. If we can't read it from the scriptures, I'm not going to say it. Unless we're in some other type of little class or whatever, and we're looking at other events. But when it comes to the word of the Most High, if you can't read it, I'm not going to say it. And I'm going to say exactly what the scriptures say. Because if I don't say exact thing, then I'm going to be adding to. And so that would be a problem for me. And I first have to look out for me. And then I have to look out for you. That's the job that I have. But if I'm not walking according to the word and you're following me, then what? How would you be walking? You'd be walking right behind me. If I'm going into the ditch, you're going into the ditch too. So this is a very serious matter. And there are all kind of doctrines in this world, all kind of people coming up with doctrines that, you know, I'm like, where's that written? Just show me where it's written, that I might go look at it, that I might go study it. If it's your own opinion, then no, I'm not trying to go down that road. If you got a theory, I'm not trying to hear your theory. Because theories are based upon men's thoughts. If I can read it in this word, then that is the doctrine. And so we want to continue in this life. We don't want to become vain, have itching ears, because something, and you really don't want to be with the masses, because if the scriptures are true, and I know that they are, when the Most High says, many are called, but few are chosen, that's exactly what he means. And we have to get in among the few. If we're trying to run with the masses, if we're trying to fit in with you know, everybody and anybody, then we will truly be in trouble. And there's only one truth. There are not 10 or 15 or 20 truths. There's not my truth and your truth. There is only the truth of Elohim. And that is what we must learn, his truth, and walk in his truth and walk in his light. Let's go, where do I want to go next? The book of Titus, chapter 2. Verse 1. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. If it's in the word of the Most High and you are walking in it, and you're doing what he says to do, then you're walking in sound doctrine. If you make an error, then you ask the Most High. You know, don't ask Brother Miles. Don't ask anybody. Go to the Most High. He says, if you want wisdom, ask him. He's the one that gives wisdom. Ask him. And then wait for the answer. I have waited as long as 5 years for an answer to prayer, to a question. I found out that I was a Hebrew Israelite. No man told me that. I didn't see it on the internet. Because if I had saw it on the internet, I would have thought it was somebody else. Then in Sunday school or in the church, when I was studying to become a pastor in the church, nobody ever said, hey, we the Hebrews, we're the people of the Most High. We're a Christian and we belong to the Most High by that virtue. But who we are as a people, that was never discussed. So when the Most High gave me the answer, I understood it from the standpoint of a Christian. You're my people. Okay, I'm a Christian, but Most High, how does that answer my question? Because my question was, why is it that no matter how much power we as black people get, no matter how much money we get, no matter how much education we get, the world still sees us the same? And they even teach their own, no matter how poor you are, you're better than him. You're better than them. That's their mentality. And when he said, you're my people, then he had to send somebody to me to explain that. And once I got that understanding, it was full steam ahead. But the truth of the matter is, It's him that gives wisdom. It's him that answers prayer. It's him that brings you into truth. It's him that gives understanding. It don't matter how many times. If the Most High doesn't want somebody to see it, they're not going to see it. I don't give the understanding. It is not my doctrine. So we as individuals, we have to ask the Most High, open my understanding. Because this brother's saying this, and it don't make no sense to me. Or I don't get it. But it is sound doctrine. And you can read it right from the word of Elohim. So we want to make sure that we are doing what he told us to do. The aged man, be sober. If I was walking around here drunk all the time, and, you know, you hear me or my wife come and say, hey, you know, I didn't know, but he be here. He get off of that station with y'all. He be drunk. He be beating, beating me. He be going out to the clubs and partying. Would that be too sober? Would that be too grave? Would I be walking in the word of the Most High? Be temperate. You know, you're not going to find me getting angry. You're not going to find me cursing you out. You say something to question me, I'm not going to get upset. Be temperate. And an even keel. That don't mean I'm not going to respond to you. But it's not going to be out of anger. Sound in faith. I don't preach different things to you. I preach the same thing all the time. And they are, you know, if you are in tune with it, then you know that it's of the scriptures. Say, you know, this is my opinion. So sometimes I might say that. Rarely. But what does saith Yah Elohim? Be sound in faith. Sound in charity. I don't have a problem helping anyone. If I have it, you got it. If I don't have it, you don't got it. You know, and it's just that way. If we can't help each other, then who are we going to help? If we can't help those trying to walk in the faith, who are we going to help? On my way home, there was this lady sitting at a red light. And she was begging. And, you know, I said, you know, Most I put it on my heart to give her something. I really didn't have but a dollar. Or I would have given her more. But I go, here, you know, this is all I got. Here you go. Because when, you know, to sit out at a red light, but I don't care if you're strung out on drugs or you're without a job and you got thrown out, whatever the case may be, it takes a lot to go do something like that. I don't even care if it's a man. If most I put a man on my heart that is out doing it. I know there's a lot of flim-flam artists out there. But if the Most I put it on my heart to give to them, then I'll give to them. I don't tell them what to go do with it. They could be going to buy a beer. They could be going to do whatever. Not up to me. Most I put it on my heart to give it to him, I gave it to him. If he don't put it on my heart, trust me, I'm not going to give it to him. But sound in charity. You can't help everybody. Some people are sent into what I call captivity, like Israel was sent into captivity for their disobedience. But they were taken captive. And you have to be able to discern which one a person is in. Are you in that condition because of your disobedience and Yah is trying to chastise you? He's trying to teach you a lesson? Are you in that condition because the enemy attacked you and you were taken captive? The Most High has to tell you which. He has to give you that discernment. You can't help that person that is strung out on drugs and don't want to stop. You can't move them into your house because they will steal you blind. Because they're going through what they're going through because of disobedience. And Yah allows them to go as far down as they need to go, to the point that the only place they have to look is up to Him. Then they can be helped. So you have to know who you can and who you can't. You have to have patience. Sometimes that can be hard. Be patient. We want to move when we want to move. We want to do what we want to do and have the outcome that we want to have when the Most High is saying, be still. I'm going to answer your prayer. I've answered it already. It's just not time for it to come into fruition. It's not time for it to manifest itself. Because if it manifests right now, you're not going to receive it the correct way. But we got to have a sound doctrine. Don't move when you want to move. Really, we should be asking the Most High everything that we're going to do, everything we're going to say. But, you know, we get caught up in self, and we're not following what He's saying to do. I never will understand how a brother can be teaching the word of the Most High out of one side of his mouth and cussing somebody out the other side. You know, be this, MF that, F this. You know, just as part of their normal way that they talk, and I'm like, when were you converted? When were you changed? What doctrine are you believing in? What Elohim are you believing in? Because He said you can't be that way. But it's not about the Most High most of the time. It's about them. It's about those vain babblers. They want to say something. But if you listen to what's coming out their mouth, then you'll know who they're about. Verse 3, the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness. That 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90. If we still walking around dressing like when we were 18, like when we were in the world, but we got some age on us, we're supposed to be protecting holiness. Not the world. Not false accusers. You know, pointing at people. Talking about them. Not given to much wine. Now, I believe it's in the Psalms, so that, you know, a king and a prince are not supposed to drink wine or hard liquor. Because when we drink those things, they affect our mind. Depends upon how much we drink and what we drink. But they affect our mind. And so we may do or say something we're not supposed to do or say. When we drink wine, you know, for me, wine just makes me sleepy. I don't know when the last time I had, well, I can say about 10 years ago, I had a sip of wine. And that sip of wine gave me a buzz. I said, you know I can't go back to that. I don't even like that feeling. But it gave me a buzz. And I'm talking about it was really a sip. Teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to be clear-headed, clear-minded, to make good decisions, to walk after the way the Most High says that a woman is supposed to be, or that if it's a boy, the way the Most High says a boy is supposed to be. According to the Most High, not according to this world. Because the world's standard is not the same as the Most High standard. And it takes a while to even come out of that. Because, you know, we've been taught and trained and brought up in such a way that, you know, science says this, psychologists say that, mental health says this, this is what's good and this is what's proper. This is what the way that, you know, you should raise up children. When the world standard is not the Most High standard. It's just not. And so we have to be mindful of those things. Because, you know, I did a lot of the things that the world said. And then I didn't treat my kids or didn't do things with them. How do I say this? I didn't do things with them that were done to me when I was a child. You know, the things that happened to us as a child that we didn't like, we want to make sure we don't do it to our children. Yet and still at the same time, the world says, you know, you put a kid in time out. They misbehave, you put them in time out. That's not what the Most High said. So when we come to him, if we're talking about sound doctrine, it's what he says, not what the world says, not what we believe or think. If we are contrary to him, then we are contrary to him. It's just that simple. And we can believe that we're right all that we want. But he says, you're being right in your own mind. I say this. If the Most High says it, then that's what we have to go with. Or else we be set on a crooked path. You know, and I'm talking it to myself. Because I didn't know this from the beginning. I didn't teach this always. It's as the Most High showed me he had to allow me to see it. And to not be afraid to say it. Because a lot of the things that I say offend a lot of people. But that, you know, it's not really me that they're offended by. Because I'm just saying what the Most High says. So that we can stay in sound doctrine. So that we can walk before him holy. So that we can stay on the straight and narrow. Because the path into the kingdom is not wide. We have to always remember this. It's not wide. You step to the right or to the left, you may step off the path. And outside of that little narrow path is the path to the lake of fire. That's what that path leads to. It's wide. So you can wander on it for a long way, and it might be hard to even find your way back to the right path, the straight and the narrow. That's what we have to always keep in front of us. Because anything else will just swallow us up, and we will start to believe those things. We'll start to believe things that are not true. We'll start to believe that it's okay to be a certain way. It's okay to accept a certain thing. It's okay to say certain things. It's okay to behave a certain way. The straight and narrow. The scriptures, you know, they don't lie. They don't change. And sometimes we can hear something and we get it. And then at some point, we forget it. And we wander off. But sound doctrine, when we hear it, should bring us back in line with the Most High to do his will, to walk in his ways, to be holy before him. The women are the one that are mostly around the children. So if you as a woman are off, you're going to raise a generation that's off. You have the most influence. It's not the man, it's the woman. The man is usually the enforcer. But the woman is usually around the children way more than the man. So if we are off, as in the women, then we will raise our children off too. We won't raise them according to holiness. Because that's what the Most High demands of us. That they be in behavior as becometh holiness. Not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. That they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. You know, if you were a woman and you were abused and you got a daughter, you're not going to be hardly teaching her to love her husband. You'll be teaching her to protect herself from her husband. Don't put yourself in a position that you got to count on him. So we are what we come out of. You know, I can only talk about my own circumstance. Now, I will say what I got from my mother. My mother used to get beat by my father on the regular until I turned 15. Then I was like, no, that's got to come to a stop. But before then, he would drink up all the money. He would come in. You know, somebody might be cooking or barbecuing. He would sprinkle Ajax on it. He would just do some terrible things. And I was so afraid that I was going to come out and turn out like him. But my mother never spoke a negative word about him. Even when she and I were walking the street at 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning, because she's running from him. But she never said a negative thing about him, not to me. And I used to ask her, hey, why don't you divorce him? Why don't you leave him? And her state of mind was, you know, that would be like me leaving your sister who has diabetes. She had type 1 diabetes, born with diabetes. Didn't find out she was born with it, didn't find out that she was 12 when she fell out. It would be like me leaving her because she has diabetes. Your father's an alcoholic and he's sick. And that was her mentality. She never told me what to do. She made suggestions. But she never exactly just said, you need to do this. She always asked me, did you think about this or did you think about that? And there were some things she confessed to me about my father, how she used to have her brothers to beat him up. And so he was acting a lot of the ways he was acting because of what she had done or had done to him. And so I had to reconcile all these things. And when I went into the military and lived that life, then I sort of understood my father more because he was also in the military. And I understood some of the ways that he was because of that, because I was experienced. But my mother never talked to me. You know, she would say, you need to go to church, but she meant the Catholic Church. But she never actually made us go to church. We went if we wanted to. And we went, and I went to the Catholic Church, and I started reading the Bible, and I was reading in the Bible, you know, like, you shall not bow down to any graven image. They were telling us to, you know, kneel to this statue every time we entered the building and make the sign of the cross. I started asking questions. Why are we doing that when it says right here we're not supposed to do that? And the father just made up an excuse. because it didn't say that in his Bible. But I told, you know, I told my mom, I said, I can't go back there because the Bible I'm reading, I didn't have a Catholic Bible. I said, but the Bible I'm reading says we're not to do that. I said, but this is what they do there. And I said, how can a church, it be a church on Sunday, and on Saturday night, people in there bumping and grinding, having parties and bumping and grinding. It's a church. There's nothing holy. What, you know, there, no place is holy to these people. And I'm a child. I was a teenager at that time. But then I went to the Baptist church, and it was the same thing. Have church on Sunday. Saturday night, they got a basement, and they having a party in the basement. Bumping and grinding. So I was never really satisfied with the church. I believed in the Most High, but he had to reveal himself to me because I wanted to know, and I was hard-headed. There were some things I was doing that I liked doing, and I didn't want to give them up. But the Most High had chose me. And then he almost said, you know, you're a reprobate. You're a reject. So I had to go back. I had to hear that voice. I had to obey. I had to seek him out. I had to repent. I mean, the Most High made me repent for everything. Everything. Just start bringing stuff up in my remembrance. Remember when. Especially for giving credit to something else for things that he did. I smoke weed. From the time I went into the military until the time I had 15 years, I could have thrown away my whole career behind weed, but the Most High. He said, remember when you would take that piss test and they always came back negative? That was me. It's not what I had planned for your life. And you were steadily trying to destroy your life. You're steadily trying to rewrite what I've already written for you. Me, myself, being hard-headed. Not because I was, you know, weed was healing something in me, or I just like to smoke it. I like the feeling it gave me. Then the Most High showed me, you know, that's witchcraft. And you're not to do it ever again. And when he showed me that and said, you're not to do it ever again, I stopped. Never thought about going back to it. Never thought about taking another puff. I want you to imagine something. If you've ever smoked weed, if you ever, you know, bought a lid, 16 ounce, a pound, or a lid. Now imagine a kilo. Twice that amount in your glove compartment all the time. All the time. You're going through the gate and there's drug dogs on the gate. They never alert on your car. And you got a kilo in the glove compartment. Somebody behind you have a seat and they alert on them. The Most High says, that was me. Remember when you drank so much that you went home and got in that waterbed and the bed was swimming and you fell out and you threw up in the bed, sleep? That was me. Remember when you were coming to work and you were drunk and you went to enter the highway and you went up under an 18-wheeler? And didn't get hit, that was me. Remember when you were coming from your part-time job and you went across a railroad track that didn't have a light there and you didn't see a train coming. And you went across that track, and as soon as you went across that track, that train came flying by like at 45 or 50 miles an hour. Had it hit me, there would be nothing left of me. He said, that was me. Remember when your commander came and knocked, you were smoking weed in your room. Thought you could cover it up with a blanket at the door. And the commander came and knocked on your door and said, are you smoking weed in there? Like, what you going to say? You open the door, it just rolls out. And he says, don't do that no more. Didn't arrest you. Didn't have you arrested. That was me. Everything that I had done in my life that I had not given him the glory for, the Most High made me confess. Even to the women that I had been with, that I wasn't supposed to be with, made me confess. So now, serve me with everything that you have, with everything that you are. Or else I'm going to reject you. Holiness. Walking according to his laws. And I still had to learn his law. I didn't always know. You know, I was like everybody else. Those laws are for the Jews. They ain't for us. Said. And I found out those laws were actually talking about me. And what we are going through for disobedience. That's us. And how do I walk holy, Most High? Obey my voice. Keep my commandments. Don't just be a hearer or a reader, but be a doer. Do them. I will correct you when you go wrong. I will chastise you because you are my son. You are my child. So I will chastise you. You do something wrong, as long as it's not a sin unto death, and as long as it's in ignorance, if anything that I really knew was wrong, after he said that to me, I would not do it anyway. Before I even knew, even what I teach now, I wouldn't do it. But the stuff that I was doing ignorantly, when I found out I wasn't supposed to do it, I stopped doing it. The Most High started bringing it all together. Now, I wish that I had received that from my mother and my father, but I didn't. So this is all the Most High is doing. But the women are the ones that are typically around the children. And what they believe, that's what they're going to teach the child. So it's important that the women walk in holiness for the next generation. Now, there's things that I would not let my daughters wear. I said, I don't want to be uncomfortable around you wearing that. And I'm your father. If I'm uncomfortable and you with you wearing it, then you really are dressed inappropriate. My wife didn't believe that. I said, oh, no, you will not wear that around here. Because it's not what she was taught. So we got to understand that the way that we are raised plays a lot in how we act as grown people. When I read the Willie Lynch document, The Making of a Slave, I could see in my own household with my wife and my children the truth of that document. Because my wife was trying to empower our daughters to do and be everything, and she wanted my son to be submissive. I'm like, that's not going to work. You know, we don't want him out here running and doing everything, and, you know, because he's a boy, he's supposed to get away with what? No. But I assure he's not going to be submissive. He's not going to walk with his head down. So that he, you know, you want him to stay out of trouble. But that's that slave mentality. The women were taught to be strong and taught to teach their boys to be submissive. That's a slave mentality, so that master wouldn't kill them, so they won't end up in prison. So when I saw that document, I was like, you know, I've been going along with this, not understanding what was going on. I have to put a stop to that. And she didn't like it. But she had to accept it because I'm like, no, we're not going to raise him that way. I don't want him walking around with his head down. I'll teach him how to deal with the police. I'll teach him, you know, you don't have to be aggressive. Treat them with respect, and they should treat you back with respect. That ain't always the case, depending upon who you run into. But this is how you survive it. Just keep going here. Holiness, sound doctrine, walk in the ways of the Most High. To be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, because, you know, the word says that the woman's place is in the home. But society says, you know, the woman should have a career and that she should, you know, get all that she should get and that she should, you know, have her own home, her own car, her own money, everything. She should not need a man. That's the world teaching. Obedient to their own husband. That ain't always the case. Because most of our women have their own opinion. And if it's contrary to their husband, then we got an argument, we got a fight, we got whatever going on. So you don't always tell women, if you're going to get married, marry somebody that you can submit to. And that who you're going to let be the man. Because a lot of the times the woman will try to play that role. I know better. I don't think that that's right. It's a matter of headship. It's a matter of what the Most High said. The Most High never told the man to beat the woman, to beat her into submission. He never told the man that. He never told the man, make her submit to you. He told the woman to submit to the man. That commandment came directly to the woman. He didn't tell Adam that. He told Eve that, and he shall rule over you. He didn't say to Adam, and you shall rule over her. So the commandment to submit came directly from the Most High. He's telling you here again, be obedient to their own husbands, that the word of Elohim be not blasphemed. Because if you're willfully disobedient, as we have learned, willful disobedience is blasphemy. And Messiah said, hey, I'm going to forgive all manner of blasphemy, all manner of willful disobedience. To the word of the Most High, because most of us don't even know that that commandment came directly to the woman. And that when she is being disobedient, that she is blaspheming the word of the Most High. She's not disobeying her husband, she's disobeying the Most High. But the man wants to take that role of, you know, I'm your head, I'm your master, I'm this, I'm that, you don't obey me, then I'm going to beat you into submission. Most High never gave the man that authority. Never gave him that instruction to do that. So let's read that verse again. To be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of Elohim be not blasphemed. Young men likewise, exhort to be sober-minded in all things. showing thyself a pattern of good work. In doctrine, showing uncorruptness. Don't be double-minded. Don't be, you know, I know that I shouldn't sleep with you. But you're fond. And I'm showing my oath. Be willing. If I can talk you into it, which I know I shouldn't be. But the world says I should. So if you're down, let's get it on. Showing uncorruptness in doctrine. If we understand the law, if we can't say something otherwise, can't put it all on the woman. As the head, we got a responsibility. As the head, I have a responsibility. And I can't be corrupt in doctrine. I can't use doctrine to try to get people to do what I want to do. Because trust me, if that's what I was trying to do, I would not be teaching what I'm teaching. Because I know most people don't want to hear it. I would be making things, you know, it's okay. This is okay. That's okay. The Most High will forgive us. He'll let that ride. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of Elohim. Gravity. In doctrine, uncorruptness. Gravity. Sincerity. Let's look at this word gravity. Make sure I understand it correctly according to the scripture. That word gravity in the scripture is Semanotes from the Greek, vulnerableness, probity, gravity, honesty. I'll go with honesty. Makes more sense to me. I can understand the verse easier with that word. In honesty, in sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned. Now, if somebody want to condemn me for saying what Yah says, oh, well, let it be that. Because you're rarely going to hear me say, thus saith Miles. There is no book of Miles. There is no book of hearts. That cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed. Shame them, they get angry. They get angry. But if the scriptures tell you, if I'm teaching and you are in sin and you are comfortable being in sin, then there's something wrong with what I'm saying. There's something wrong with what I'm teaching. If you can live in sin and not be ashamed and you're listening to me, then something's wrong. I'm just going to put it straight up. There's something wrong. Either I'm not teaching you correctly, or I'm walking so much in sin I can't teach you correctly. Because I don't want to be self-condemning. I don't want to condemn myself. Sound doctrine. If we are walking in sin, and if I'm teaching sound doctrine, and you get angry about it because I'm hitting your street, but you don't want to believe it that way. Okay, if you just don't agree, that's fine too. But if you know it's true and you're walking that way and you're angry because I said it, you'll have to be angry. It's not on me. You ain't angry with me. You might think you're angry with me, but you're not. You're angry with the Most High. There's no way, as I being a man of the Most High and being what he called me to the office of teaching, and I don't call myself a teacher, but that's what he called me to teach his word, to teach it through repentance. If you're walking in sin and you're not convicted, I'm not doing what I was told to do. Having no evil thing to say of you. I can't control what people say. You try to do that. I don't try to do that anymore. They'll do that whether you want them to or not. Everybody has an opinion. But I do know this. Most people who really know me, they don't have anything evil to say about me. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own master and to please them well in all things, not answering again. I tell a Hebrew this, then I got issues. You ain't a real Hebrew. How could you say that? I'm not saying that. The scripture is saying that. When we were in slavery, we were sent into slavery by the Most High. It's like your child being sent into timeout. And then somebody else telling your child to come out of timeout when you didn't tell them to. Or that child deciding to come out of timeout because they want to come out of timeout. So when Moses sent us into slavery, he did that because of our disobedience. Until we learned a lesson, we weren't supposed to come out of timeout. We weren't supposed to come out of slavery. And when we continue to walk the way our forefathers did, even after we came out of slavery and we don't see why things haven't gotten better, I sent you through all that. I let you out of the room and you act in the same way. Disobedient, just like your forefathers. And you think I'm supposed to deliver you? You think I'm supposed to bring you out of the land of your captivity? I had this written for your sake. I want to say, if we can't read this book and get it right, it ain't meant to get it right. So, please them well in all things, not answering again. Not purloin. I used to know what this word meant. Let me look it up. Purloin. I think it may be complaining, but it may not. So, I'm going to look it up. That word is in the Greek, nosthizoma, N-O-S-T-H-I-Z-O-M-A, middle voice from this word, a part of clandestinely, to sequestrate for oneself, embezzle, keep back, purloin. So, holding back, not holding back, but showing all good fidelity. Not embezzling. Not cheating. Not taking stuff that you ain't supposed to take. Not, you know, making a deal with somebody and then trying to find a way to get over on them. Especially in the legal sense. Showing all good fidelity that they may adorn the doctrine of Elohim, our Savior, in all things. The Most High and Messiah, Messiah never cheated anybody. Messiah never tried to get over on anybody. He never lied to anybody. He never deceived anybody. It's how he's telling the young men to walk. Sober-minded. Honest. Not trying to get over. But see, those are all things that we're taught in the world, even today. And in business, if you don't, in this country, if you don't cheat somebody in business, you know, cheat them legally, take advantage of them, you made a better deal than they did. It's not about we both are happy. It's not about we both struck a deal that we both can live with. The rich are rich because they learn how to take from other people. Mosiah said, no, that's not what I told y'all to do. I told you to be fair with one another. Drop down to verse 12. 11 as well. For the grace of Elohim that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men. This grace period is the fact that he didn't have a field. And he extended grace when he allowed us to survive and to be forgiven for our willful sin, things that we knew were wrong that we did, because he never did that. That's his grace, not the blood. I'm having grace towards you because you were willfully disobedient to me and under my law, all those who were willingly disobedient to me, they died. And not after a while. It was immediate, within a couple of days. This is what he showed in Israel. Now he says, I'm going to have grace. I'm going to let you come to me, confess your willful sins, because you can't confess anything that you don't know. So the ignorant ones, we'll take care of when you learn. But your ones that you know, your willful ones, come and confess them and I will forgive you. And I will extend grace to you. I won't carry out the sins. I'll forgive you one time. But see, people think that grace goes on forever. It doesn't. And he actually says that if we actually offend in that grace, he says there's no blood for that. But, you know, the world teaching sound doctrine would tell you, hey, all you got to do is confess and he's going to forgive you, no matter if it's in the past, present, or the future. He knows what you were going to do. If that's the case, then he knows that you were going to willfully sin and at the same time tell you if you willfully sin, I'm not going to forgive you. We already know who made it and who didn't. He knows who makes it and who don't. The Most High is in past, present, and future at the same time. He's outside of time. He can be talking to you right now when you were three. You're not three right now. But if the Most High wants to go into the past and talk to you when you were three, he can. And if he wants to talk to you right now, at the age that you are, he can. And if he wants to talk to you, if you're going to live to be 95 and he wants to talk to you at 95 right now, he can. Because he's not in time. Time doesn't apply to him. That's why he tells you, I know what you're going to do before you do it. Why? Because I'm already there. He already knows who makes it and who doesn't. I was with a Baha'i back when I used to teach. And the Baha'i believe in the Bible, but they got a strange way of believing in it. And I told him, you know, the Most High knows who's going to make it already. He's not in time. He says he knew you when you were in your mother's womb. He knew you before you were in your mother's womb. He knows if you're going to make it into the kingdom or not. He said, well, if he knows, then I don't really have a choice. I said, sure you do, because you're responsible for the choices that you make. He knows what choices you're going to make. That don't take away your choice. Just means that he's going to give you the freedom to make the choice, to do right or to do wrong. Because he knows what you did, doesn't take away your choice. And we got to understand that. The Most High already knows who of us have made it, and who has. We're just trying to catch up to the future. We're trying to catch up to the promise. But the promise has already been made. And as far as the Most High is concerned, he's already there. We still get our chance. But he knows whether we make it or not. He already knows. So while you have a chance, while you can maybe influence the Most High in some kind of way, yeah, I know you made it because I saw what you did. I saw what you repent. I saw your heart. But we're living right now, and we're living in this second and in this moment, in this time. And we might feel like, hey, there's no changing whatever, or I got time. That may be true. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust soberly, righteously is what lawfully and godly in this present world, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great Elohim and our Savior, Yeshua HaMashiach, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people. Then the Most High said he wanted Israel to be a peculiar people. You shall be a peculiar people unto me. But now he wants it from all men. Whosoever will, let him come. Zealous of good work. Anxious to do good work. Excited about doing good work. These things speak and encourage and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. But we got a problem today. People get hurt feelings. They don't respect authority. They don't respect the man or the woman of the Most High. You're just a man. But the Most High put people in charge. You have to make sure that they really are who they say that they are. If you are a man or a woman of the Most High and you are not living a righteous life, you're not living a holy life, if you're not living a good life, if you are halfway in the world and halfway on the Most High side, if you don't do halfway, halfway is not choosing him, because he's already told us, I want your all. You should be seeking these things. You should be encouraging people to walk holy, to walk righteous, to seek out sound doctrine. If the Most High said it, it's sound. If you're contradicting what he said or what he had written, it's not sound. It's opinion. And rebuke according to his word with all authority. Don't worry about what people are going to say. Don't worry about what they're going to think. Because they're going to say and think what they want to say and think. But if they're really trying to get into the kingdom, you got to find somebody that's really trying to get into the kingdom. That's going to correct you when you're walking not according to the Most High. Oh, no, but that's your opinion. We always got something. But we need to walk in sound doctrine. Not the opinions of men and not the traditions of men. Sound doctrine. According to the word of the Most High. Fear me, keep my commandments, obey my voice. Don't turn to the right or to the left. Don't add to or take away from. Let me be a light unto your path. Let me show you the right way. I'm not talking about me personally. I'm talking about the Most High. With that being said, commandment, for this is, can't say it no plainer, this is the whole duty of man. If Yah said it in the past, he didn't change on it. Whatever he modified, he let us know what he modified. Everything else stayed the same. That's why we don't see everything covered in the New Testament. And people try to make their whole faith and their understanding off of the New Testament and want to discard what's in the old. If I give you a modification to the contract and I only give you the amendment, you still need to read the entire contract to know what I changed, to know what I amended, to know what stayed the same and what changed. But the world has taught us, hey, all you know how to do is read the amendment. That's the new covenant. When the Most High says, hey, the new covenant is I'm going to write my laws in your heart and in your mind. My laws are not bad. My laws are not grievous. Only grievous if you don't want to do them. That's when they become grievous. I don't want to do that. I shouldn't have to do that. That's too hard. I'm not willing to do that. That's really what we're saying. Follow after him. That sound doctrine. All these things that people get involved with that get us going, be contentious with each other. If it's not going to get you into the kingdom, if it's not telling you how to walk correctly before the Most High, if it's not to keep you walking straight before him, then it's a waste of time. It's a distraction. It's hard enough walking holy day after day. And we want to add in all these other things that are distractions. They only get us off the path. I don't know about you. I can speak for myself. It's easy to get distracted. Easy. Very easy to get off the path. My fear of him is what keeps me from doing it. My fear of him. Because I know that what he said he's going to do, he's going to do it. My words shall not return unto me void. It shall go about to accomplish wherever I sent it to accomplish. I believe that with everything in me. So everybody that he says has sinned against him has made themselves his adversary. They're going to pay the price. It's already been spoken. We're just waiting to catch up to it. Those people who have already died, if they're truly asleep, they don't know how much time has passed by. They don't know if it's 1 year or 10,000 years. When they open their eyes again the next time at the resurrection, what year is it? It's this year? I've been asleep that long? Like yesterday. We want to walk according to his will, according to his way. When we close our eyes for the final time, if he has not come back, that when we awaken again, that we're awakening in a spirit of holiness, And we're awakening in a right position with him. Just bow our head. Father Yah, you are the great I am. You are whatever we need for you to be, Father. And you said that if we were obedient and if we walked in your ways, that you would never leave us or forsake us. And we can believe that, and that we should walk in it in faith. And if we are disobedient, Father, you have said that what child that is disobedient, that the parent does not discipline them. He says if we are disobedient to him, he will chastise us. If we are ignorantly disobedient, he will correct us. If we are willfully disobedient, Father, you have said that there is no salvation in that, that our iniquity shall remain upon us. Father, we are all at your mercy. For all have sinned and fallen short of your glory, even after we have come to you. I pray that you impute not our sins against us, that you are merciful. You will have mercy on whom you will have mercy, and whom you will not have mercy, you will not have mercy. You are sovereign. And you have the last say. And you are just and you are righteous. And we yield to you in all things. Your will be done. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name. Amen and amen. So tomorrow morning, again, I don't know what the lesson's going to be. I pray that the Most High gives me sweet dreams. I pray that he comes to me in the middle of the night and tells me what he once said. Maybe he'll put it on the TV. I've had that to happen. I'll be dreaming, and then next thing I know, there's something about it on TV. Maybe he'll put it in a song. Maybe he'll whisper it in my ear. However he chooses to come, I just want to say what he says. And I want to give him all the glory and the praise. So I don't know what the lesson will be tomorrow. I'm sure sometime in the middle of the night or early in the morning, he will give it to me. As always, may Yah bless you. May he keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, remember, I really do love you. I really do. I don't have a heaven or a hell to put anybody into. Fear Yah. Keep his commandments. For this is your whole duty and mine, to fear him and to walk in his ways. That's enough by itself. That's a daily thing. Don't let your mind wander. Don't be of little faith, but believe. Walk in his word. Be obedient. Kill that old man if you're not walking in his way. Kill that person. I mean, kill those ways. Because they are not profitable. Tomorrow's not promised to any of us. Somebody went to bed last night and didn't wake up this morning. I thank Yah that every one of us did. But we could just as easily come tomorrow and somebody say, you know, have you seen brother or sister so-and-so? Anybody heard from them? Oh, you didn't hear? They didn't wake up last night. They didn't wake up this morning. So fear him. Thank him for Allah giving you another day that you can repent, that you can worship him, that you can praise his name, that you can honor his Sabbath, that you can obey his voice, that you can tell somebody about him, that you can straighten out your life. Because everybody don't get that chance. And every day that we have on this earth is a chance to get it right. It's a chance that Yah might re-throw us in the lake. He might repent of it. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. Don't think that we can walk in our old ways and that he's going to be merciful. You know, why should he have mercy if we don't even try? If we don't even, we never get it right. We always make an excuse to walk in our weakness. We make the excuse, I'm only human. Yeah, Yah knows that too. He don't never take it into account. He didn't tell us to do something that we cannot do. So may he bless you on this evening. May you take the time to spend some time with him in prayer. Acknowledge him. Sing a song to Yah. Sing it to him out of your heart. Praise him out of your heart. Tell him how much you love him. Tell him how much you're afraid of him and what he will do. Tell him how much you honor him in his day. And every day. Yah says, I want the praises of your lips. Be obedient. Give him what he's asking for. Let me play a song and we're out. Family, and enjoy the rest of your evening.
Everything I do is for you. I give you the praise and the glory. You came and you walk in the flesh, an example of love. It is a story. Your words jump at me like a picture. The perfect you are in the scriptures. Your words, they don't change and they don't go void. You are the truth you deliver. Most High, I honor you. You are my Elohim. You're the creator.